This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. There's just nothing like summertime in West Texas.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, our face is about to melt off. It's been so hot. Last week, and I forget what day it was either Thursday or Wednesday, whichever day it was supposed to be super duper hot, the hottest day, the record that day was 109. We got up to 107. The record was set in 1952. We did not break it. We missed it by 2 degrees.
Oh, my gosh. I had no idea it was that hot.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have been fainting if I'd known it was 107 degrees.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too hot for people.
Yes, I thought 95 was kind of warm. And you can ask the llamas about it. They haven't had their hair cut yet because of the rain, and they're spending all day at the pond. Usually, they just go down in the morning and dip themselves, and that's fine. No, they're staying down there, and every little bit they're going in.
Wow.
Yes, it's too hot for them because they need their coats cut.
Yeah.
And the guy said, I'll get to it as quick as possible, but the rain has him slowed down.
Yeah.
And we think we're warm. If we had that big coat on, we'd be kind of warm, too.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we have a Labradoodle, and he is 15 years old, and he goes outside, and he's just, like, panting and all that because it's so hot. He's getting a haircut, but not until Tuesday. And so he doesn't like it either.
So it's the same deal as the llama.
Yeah.
You know, they get too warm with that heavy coat.
Yeah, yeah.
And, if we had a coat on, I don't know what we'd do.
Yeah, I think we would probably faint.
Do you remember the old ice houses where you went and you got your ice and took it home?
No.
Okay. When I was a kid, they had ice houses. You would go into town, you would have these burlap sacks, and you would ask for ice. They'd give you this big chunk of ice to take home. And these guys had these heavy coats on, and that's what made me reminded of it. They would go into get the ice. They had on these huge coats. They'd go in there and get your ice and come out. And this is right in the middle of summer, and they had on these huge coats, and they would wrap your ice in these burlap bags, and you'd take it home.
Really?
People didn't have ice back then.
Hmm.
The refrigerators weren't even made with ice cube when I first remember it. And then later we got refrigerators that the little frozen section had little places to put your ice cubes.
Huh.
But to start with, we took home huge pieces of ice in the summer. Now, how we got it home without it melting, I still don't know.
Yeah, because you had to travel, and I would imagine it was probably still very, very hot, even though it may not have been 110, but it was still hot enough to melt some ice in a hurry, I would think.
Yes, and you had these burlap bags were cold. In other words, you've got them watered down, and you put these wet bags over the ice.
Wow.
And it's like, 50 pounds of ice.
Goodness gracious, that's heavy.
It is heavy. And I remembered that when we started talking about, the llamas and all these different animals having these huge coats, I thought about that, and I said, those guys worked in the summer with huge coats going in there to get that ice.
Huh.
How about that?
I didn't even know. I think the earliest I go back is the ice, or the big, huge freezers, with the lid that opens on the top, and you'd have like an entire cow or, you'd have all kind of meat just shoved in these things for like a year's supply.
That's right. We had one of those too, and I don't remember. I guess when we got home, we put that ice in there.
Yeah.
In the deep freeze, because you didn't have a, you know, one of those little small deep freezers in the refrigerator to start with.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it was that big, huge unit you'd have out like in the mudroom before you actually got in the main house. If you lived on a farm, it was out there.
That's right. And I remember that the first washer and dryer that I saw was in the garage.
Ooh.
You know, it wasn't in the house; it was in the garage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of fascinating, the things that we've actually put inside the house for our convenience. We've got running water, we have electricity, which could be dangerous and burn things down. It's amazing what we put in our home.
That's right. And look how far we've come.
Yeah.
And kids nowadays, or teenagers, would never believe all these stories. They would never believe it.
I know. Now you buy a new refrigerator and you have an app on your phone. You can see what's in the fridge while you're sitting on the couch.
I know. Isn't it amazing?
It is.
It's amazing. How many drawers down? I know people may not believe this, but refrigerators now, you know, you have two big, huge bottom ones.
Oh.
You know, it has the deep freeze is down there low where you can actually reach everything.
Yeah, my word.
So somebody thought about that.
They did. But I tell you what, there's much less room because those deep freezes we had a long time ago, you could put all kinds of things in there. Now you can put a few things, but, you know, there's so many other things that are in the appliance, they had to shrink those. So you can only put a few things in there.
But have you ever noticed they're all foreign now?
I had not noticed, no.
They're either Samsung or they're Bosch.
Mm.
And Bosch now owns Thermador.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
So all these foreign companies are making these huge refrigerators and washers and dryers. They're not even American-made.
Is GE and Whirlpool still around, or are they gone?
Yes, and I know Whirlpool has different people make theirs now.
Really?
Used to, Whirlpool made all their own products.
Yeah.
But I've noticed that someone else makes them now from time to time.
Yeah. I tell you what, we had a washer and dryer a long time ago, and probably had that thing for 20 years. Well, we just decided, maybe it's time to get a new one. You know, they're a little bit fancy. They've upgraded a little bit. I tell you what, that new one didn't last more than 2 years before it broke down, and the one that was 20 years old lasted the entire time. No maintenance, no breakdowns. Things were so much better made a long time ago than they are now.
Well, do you remember that the basket inside, you know, that goes round and round, they were steel.
Yes.
All those years, they were steel. Now they're plastic.
Uh-huh.
It makes a big difference.
It really does.
And like you said, the Whirlpool ones, they lasted forever, 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Now they don't last very long at all because Whirlpool is not making them. Somebody else is making them for them.
Interesting. So strange.
Yeah.
We live in more of a disposable society. If it breaks, you just throw it away, get a new one.
That's right.
Hmm. This is your money.
Time.
I know. It's totally different than it used to be, you know? This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And this is all about investing. It's growing your money so you can retire happy and wealthy and early, and that's the whole goal. Even if you don't want to retire early, to be able to have the option. If you get sick of your boss one day and all of a sudden you just want to walk in and quit, you can.
I know a lot of people would like to do that. And you know what I was reading this week?
Mm-hmm.
They said people are going to be short. A lot of people are going to be short 10 years of their retirement money. It
really?
Came out this week. A lot of people are going to be 10 years short. What in the heck are they going to do? They said Japan is the worst. The people in Japan right now are 8 to 10 years short on their retirements. And the women over there are living to be 87 years old.
Meaning they've only got enough money to last to 77, right?
That's right.
Wow.
And they said all these people, and especially, and they named a lot of foreign countries, the people have not saved enough. I don't know what they were doing all these years, but they're not going to have enough, and a lot of Americans are not going to have enough because they were blowing it. They were spending their money on everything in the world. And then they said, all these people, you know, they're saying that they can't take but 4% a year out of their retirement. If they can't take but 4% a year, I don't know how you can live on 4% of your savings.
That almost sounds like it would be almost below poverty standards, I'm guessing.
I'm afraid it is. And So what they're saying is we didn't make you enough money when you had your money with us, so now you can't take the 4% or you won't have enough to live on.
So what if somebody's in that situation? What would they do?
I don't know. They would have to do a reassessment of their expenses. I would say if you could only take 4% a year, you need to make some quick choices and say, okay, we've got to either downsize. That's the only thing I can figure out they could do. If they could only take 4%, and that's all the money they've got, they would have to get a smaller house, smaller everything, or they're not going to make it. And so nobody wants to get down to where they can only take 4%.
You know, we talk about that all the time. We talk about having to either go back to work after you've retired or get close to it and all of a sudden have one of those aha moments and realize, oh, wait a minute, I miscalculated. We don't have enough. And so now, right when you think you're going to retire, now you've got to put it off several more years and do something and scramble to try to make more money. And that's not a good situation for anybody. Nobody wants to retire that way.
No, and no one wants to be told, you know, you're 70 years old, you cannot retire, you're going to have to work till 80.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you chose to do it, that'd be okay. But being told, you know, you woke up one morning and you had blown your retirement.
Yeah.
And when you were supposed to be saving all these years, you were spending it, you were going to Vegas every month, you know, you were living the high life.
Yeah.
But you can't live like that. You know, you can take a vacation once a year, but you can't have a vacation every day of your life.
No, that just doesn't. And I think a lot of people look at it as though, well, you know, I'm going to spend it now. I'm going to enjoy it now because tomorrow's never guaranteed and blah, blah. We've seen people with those types of attitudes all the time. And what ends up happening is they don't actually think further than a few years out. And then they get to that point. And then at that point, you can't get that time back to go ahead and start investing. It's not like you can, you know, rewind 10, 15 years and start over again. That time is gone. And at that point, if you're in that situation, you're backed into a corner. And so that's not a good situation for anybody. So what if somebody's, I don't know, say 45, 50, maybe even 52, and they're looking at things right now and they're saying, you know, I really have probably overspent now. I may have maybe $1 million in the bank, but maybe that's not enough. Maybe it's not going to get me the money that I need to travel, to you know, do whatever I need to do, to go buy a ranch if I want to you know, in case an emergency pops up. What do you say to somebody in that kind of a situation who's already backed into a corner?
Well, I would say, first of all, you've got to get some interest started. You can't just sit there with getting 2% interest. Mm-hmm. 2% interest is not going to get you there. It's not even going to keep up with inflation. So you've got to make enough interest that you can try to live on that interest. And most people could live on their interest if they start out pretty good and they're getting interest every year and they're taking just the interest. Most people could take $60,000, $70,000 a year in interest and make it, and they'll be fine. But if you don't have any principal to back up the interest, what are you going to do?
Mm.
So you've got to get your principal in line. And if let's say you've only got $150,000. You need that working every day. If you've got $500,000, it needs to be working, or $1 million or $2 million. I've talked to people this week that are worth several million dollars, but they haven't invested it wisely. So it's not making any money, you know. It's making a little bit, but it's not even going to keep up with inflation.
Hmm.
So the only thing I know is you've got to get your finances in line, figure out how much you're going to need to retire, and start working on that goal. And if you're working on it every day, you can still take a vacation. You can still slough off a little bit of work. But wait a minute. Let's say you're fired. You always have to think about that. I've talked to a couple of people this week that lost their job. How can you lose a job in Midland, Texas?
I know. It's like,
I mean, how can you do that?
People are hiring everywhere. How does that happen? What did they do?
How did it happen? I haven't talked to the guy, but he called the office, and he talked to the secretary, and he said, you know, I've just lost my job. And I'm going, oh, my gosh, how did he do it? I just don't understand. I've only had two people lose their job that I know of in the last year.
Yeah.
Because everything's going so well.
It is. And that's one of the good things about this is people have some money to work with right now.
That's right. And now is the time to really get your house in order and say, okay, this is how much we're going to need in 5 years or 10. You need 5 years if you can get it. 5 years will really get you on down the road. But 10, of course, is just slow walking it, and you're going to be fine. You know, if you've got at least $150,000, $200,000, and 10 years from now, you know, it ought to be, you know, several times that. So you can probably make it. But somebody that's just got a year to go, we've got to start off with some pretty good money. And then we've got to keep that interest going after you retire. And remember, everybody is either building a new house on retirement somewhere on a lake, or they're buying one. So, you know, they've got to have enough money to build that new house.
You know, I was reading something in the news earlier this week, and I think the story was it started out about teachers and the teacher shortage, teachers not wanting to move here because, you know, the housing is so difficult, it's so expensive. And so the article started to parlay into the general state of the local economy, and they were saying, yeah, if you're in the oil field business, you're doing gangbusters. However, if you're not, if you work at an office someplace, you know, you work at a store, or, you know, anything that's not in the oil field business, you're struggling. And they were, you know, basically blanketing anybody who's not in the oil industry into the same category. And they were saying, you know, the wages for regular non-oil jobs are not keeping up with, you know, the rising cost of things. And so what do you tell somebody who's like an actual Midland native or an Odessa native or Big Spring or wherever, you know, someplace in West Texas, but they're not in the oil field business? What do you tell them who may be, you know, trying to keep up with things? What do you tell them in that type of a situation?
Well, I know that they need to be talking to someone, hopefully us. And we need, like teachers, when they retire, you know, their retirement is small, $150,000, $160,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, they need that invested in, hopefully, in something that is secure, not in the stock market. Because if they lose part of that, they don't have much to start with.
Oh, yeah.
If you lose 40% or 30%, you know, you're really in trouble. And we've done several teachers over the years. And we looked at what they had, and it wasn't a lot. And if they hadn't been married, they could not have made it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we invested their money. We did it safely. It's made money all these years. And for a teacher, you know, you have to put them in something different than you would our regular retirement, because they don't have the money everybody else has got. But usually their husband, hopefully, he's got a good job, and, you know, we can do something with his money to help her. But usually it takes both of them when we're doing an investment.
Okay, so there are a number of options no matter where somebody falls in the spectrum.
That's right. And lots of times, as I said, we have to use both of them to get them enough retirement income for them to live on.
Mm-hmm.
And then lots of times we can just take the husband's 401k, roll it over, and everything will work out. They'll have enough money. They'll have plenty. They'll have good interest income. And a lot of our people, you know, are mid-level in the oil business. They're not at the very, very bottom, and that helps a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got, you know, good income coming in. We have a guy who is making like $2,500 a day right now.
Whoa, again?
He is a welder. Now, I think I insulted him. I thought welders were still making $49 an hour.
Whoa.
And when I said something, he said, no, Faye, I make $100 an hour.
Wow.
Plus expenses. So, you know, like he said, now is the time for him to get the rest of his money made, because he's an older gentleman, and he'll be retiring in 3 or 4 years. But he'll have the money, because at $2,500 a day, he could only work 2 days a week, and he'd make it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, $5,000 a week, that's all you need.
Exactly. My goodness, goodness gracious. So what do you tell somebody who's in that type of a situation? Maybe you know, they're thinking about retirement. They've got some money in the bank. They've got maybe, I don't know, say $500,000 to $1 million. And they're saying, yeah, I'm fine. Because you think, well, geez, you know, $1 million, $700,000 is quite a bit of money. That's gonna last me a while. Without the person actually delving in and starting to actually see how long will it last, they just take that blanket statement of, I'm doing fine. What do you tell that person?
Well, of course, you can't stop making interest. If you do, it might not last. But thank goodness, like the gentleman I was just talking about, we rolled him out of the stock market. He wasn't making any money in the stock market. I know some people do, but in his particular situation, he wasn't. When we rolled it over, and now he's got a chance to have enough in another 3 to 4 years that he can retire safely, you know. He's a single man, so he won't have to have as much as other people. And we never do talk about that. Some of our clients are single, so they're not going to need as much money as somebody that's married and got a family. Because you know if you've got a family, then you've got the grandchildren. You're doing things for them. You know, you want to help them with college. You want to help them buy that first car lots of times. So it takes more for, you know, parents and grandparents than it does a single person.
Yeah, that's true. There's more people involved. There's more expenses.
It is. And so people get sick. You know, we see the other side of that all the time. People getting sick. The one guy told me this week, the pills, one prescription was $22,000.
Holy smokes.
So I'm telling you, if you ever get sick, you've got to have this emergency money. And that's why if you've got interest coming in from us, you're going to have emergency money. You're going to have extra money. You know, you're not going to be down to your last peso, as I always say.
Yeah. When somebody comes to you and they've been in the stock market for a number of years, do you ever find that they think maybe they've made money because they're in the stock market, but in reality they haven't? Do they know where they stand, or are they surprised?
Well, I have a lot of people that can read their statements, and they'll say, "Hey, I didn't do very well." That's usually what they say. I didn't do too well. I have very few that said, "Hey, we doubled or tripled our money."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I haven't had anybody say that. I've had some people make some money. Then in 2008, it went down. Now it's back up. And then some people, it never came back. You know. And then, as I was saying the other day, and I didn't realize it, a lot of people bought some oil company bonds, and I didn't even think about oil company bonds. And the guy has lost money for 8 years on those bonds.
Wow.
They've never made him one dadgum dime. In fact, you know, he's hurting because of it, and he wanted to roll that over, but he can't. He's in such a loss on those bonds, there isn't anything he can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so lots of times, a bond is not going to make the money you thought. If it had been a government bond, it would have been guaranteed, as you know. But it's a corporate bond, and it's subject to the earnings of that company.
Yeah.
So if the company, you know, is having hard times, then your bond's not going to be worth very much, and that's a tragedy because he put several hundred thousand dollars in corporate bonds.
So
lots of times you make mistakes, and then getting out of it is what's important. Can you get out of it and make money?
Yeah, it's the recovery that can take a while and be frustrating.
That's right. So if you've got more than one asset, lots of times you can roll that over to us, and we can start working on it and try to get you back where you ought to be. And then you have to just keep that other asset until you can make something happen on it.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully we've covered a number of different scenarios, you know, from you know, not a whole lot of resources to work with to maybe a lot of resources to work with, maybe people thinking they've made money and they really haven't, and they haven't made money, they know about it, so mid-range salaries in between. So hopefully we've covered enough scenarios that most people can identify with one of those situations. And so that's really the goal with all of this. It doesn't matter where you are in the spectrum, is that you've got to get started. And obviously with any kind of retirement plan, the sooner you get started, the better. And then I think the next thing that people worry about is maybe I didn't start soon enough. And so people start getting into that mindset of, though, oh, geez, I'm 45, I'm 50, I'm 52. I didn't start, you know, investing. I didn't start doing the right thing. I was irresponsible. I went out and, yeah, maybe I paid off the house. Maybe I paid off the credit cards. But, you know, I didn't do much else beyond that to grow money. So somebody who's in that type of a situation, no matter where they are on the salary scale, in that type of a situation, what do they need to do? What should they worry about, and what kind of hope do they have to recover?
Well, the best way to recover is get it as financially sound as you can. And my suggestion would be come and talk to us, see if we can do it. I've only seen a couple of cases we couldn't do anything because they had borrowed money to come to us.
Ooh.
And you can't do that. You know, if you're having to borrow the money to invest with us, it's the wrong thing to do. You've got to start with money that is your own,
mm-hmm.
whether it's inherited, it's your retirement, your wife's retirement, it doesn't matter. We have to sit down and talk about it and see what we can do. And if we can get you on the right path, and then just you're investing again and again, and it's something you don't have to worry about. That's what I love. It doesn't matter whether you're a smart person or just the average Joe. You can do this with us, and it will take care of itself.
Hmm.
You don't have to read the paper every day. You don't have to get up at night and check your statement. You don't have to check the stock market every day. It'll take care of itself. A life insurance policy that you've invested in, it doesn't take anything. That's what I love about the investment, is every month it's just right there. And when the policy comes due and it matures, you get paid. And you didn't have to do a thing during that time. Just wait for it to mature, and you make the money. And we pay them 1% a month is what we always pay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got a 12-month policy, it'll make 12%. If it's 30 months, it's going to make 30%. And it doesn't matter if it's on time, if it's late, or if it's early. Any of those scenarios will work for you because you're going to get your money. You always know with a life insurance policy, you'll get paid because a life insurance policy is on an individual's life. And when that person passes away, the insurance company pays. And that's the good thing about the investment. You know what you're going to make every year or every 2 years, whatever it is. You know how you're going to get paid. You know the bank will put the money in your account. And we never touch their money. It doesn't come to us. The checks are never made to us. They're made to the bank. So that's why I like the investment, because I think it's a little bit safer than some other investments.
Mm-hmm. And really, when you're talking about life insurance policies, is that of all the different options you have to grow people's wealth for retirement, do you find the life settlement is the most appealing to most people? It's the most attractive option?
Well, it has become very attractive in the last 3 years. You know, I read all the statistics every month on it. I get all this information from 21st Services, and they say that it has become the biggest thing there is. It's a $60 billion business.
Wow.
And everybody is scrambling to get into this business. The mutual fund companies are all getting in this. You know that Magna Financial in Austin, one of the biggest companies around, they're buying policies as fast as they can. You know, they start out every year with $137 million. And they'll say, okay, we're going to buy all these. We're going to pay people 8%. That's in a mutual fund.
Hmm.
And our people make a lot more, but theirs is like a group deal, you know?
Yeah.
It's a group deal. In other words, you go in, and there's a lot of people in that policy. And the mutual company makes the difference. They guarantee you 8%, then they make the difference. So I like the way we do it better, but a lot of companies, as I said, are getting into this investment.
So there's an entire shift in the entire landscape over to life settlements. Am I hearing that right?
That is right. And the life insurance companies can no longer count on all these people to let their policies lapse.
Mm.
And, you know, years ago, a large percent every year lapses. and they just let it lapse. They say, I no longer need it, or I can't afford to make the premiums. And now they know they can sell that policy and recoup something, and they don't have to just let it go and lose all that investment. And so the life insurance companies, when they are figuring this, they figure so many of them will lapse, and they'll never have to pay off on those. Well, now they're going to have to pay off on almost all of them because the people are not going to lapse their policies.
So is it safe to say that the reason that this is so popular, the reason there's this massive migration is because of the types of policies? Now, everybody, all companies that do this, I assume they are buying different types of policies than you are, because yours are very specific. You are only buying stage four cancer policies. Are there other companies that are doing something similar but different types of policies?
Yes. A lot of them will do seniors. And, you know, we got burned on seniors. We took a long time to recover from that. So we don't want seniors. They're buying senior policies, and they may have to wait 15 years.
Whoa.
A lot of them, the big companies, they'll buy them because they can buy them pretty cheap because they're seniors. We're not taking that risk. We know about the risk. It's not a risk we want to assume ever again. And then there's people that will buy just life insurance policies. If you want to sell it, they'll buy it. And but most people want to buy one that the people are going to only live 2 to 4 years. You know, and some people will buy those 7-year policies. I know in foreign countries, they'll buy a 10-year policy because the way their retirement system is set up, all their investments are long-term. Ours are not. That's why people invest with us, because they know they're short-term investments. And I've got some people that say, I don't want a short-term because I don't make enough. Then I've got some people say, I don't want 30 months. I want an 18 months. So everybody has a different calculation on their retirement as to what they want. Lots of people say, I like pancreatic cancer. That's what I want. I want stomach cancer. Or multiple melanoma. So everybody in life, everybody doesn't think alike. Everybody thinks different about their portfolio, about what they're making, and they want to make a different amount of money. Then we have the people that say, Faye, put me in for $150,000. I don't want anything smaller.
Hmm.
And then I've got people say, no, that's too much for me on one policy. So, you know, everybody thinks different. That's just the way it is.
So for people who are Googling or trying to do their own research to kind of look into this a little bit more, is it a fair statement to say that they need to be careful because there are other companies that do life settlements, but they may not be the types of policies that are going to pay off quicker? You know, like you were saying, some of these may last 15 years, maybe even more, depending on, you know, if the company is buying elderly policies or whatever the case may be. They may not be the same as what you're doing.
That's exactly right. A lot of them are not the kind we do. And the reason that we started doing the cancer, we researched it. We saw that people with cancer have a very short lifespan. And if we do stage four, you know, it's going to be fairly quick. I had someone tell me the other day, we're going to do stage two and three. They're going to be holding the candle out for the stage two. They might survive, you know. And you have to know the statistics. You have to research it all the time and see what is changing about it.
Hmm. Okay. See, I think we've kind of hit on this a little bit, you know, in the past, but I don't think we've actually solidified it and put like an actual label on it that other companies are doing life settlements. So if people are researching, watch out, because you may not be getting the same exact thing, because all you do is bid on and purchase stage four cancer, because we know that they are we know what the numbers are. They're highly deadly. They don't last a long time. Like you said, stage two, sometimes stage three, people can even beat it. And so people will have their money wrapped up in these investments for long periods of time. So we're looking at these stage four cancers, which is what really gives you that highly specified niche of what you're doing. It's really what makes your investments pay off better than others. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so. And, of course, lots of times we have to wait longer for policies than other people. But when we get them, they're great policies. They do pay off. The clients love them. But we have to wait lots of times. And we've had two unusual things happen lately. We've had two people getting divorces because of cancer. I'd never heard of that in my entire life.
Really?
But, yes. One of them, a man, is divorcing his wife, hadn't been married but 4 or 5 years, because she has breast cancer. And he knows she's not going to make it. And they're getting a divorce. And she's going to sell us her policy because she is, you know, very sick. But she says, I've got to wait till I know the divorce is final. He'll try to get the life insurance policy.
Wow.
And I could not believe it. I said, is anybody that sorry that they would try to take her life insurance policy as part of his divorce?
I have never heard of that before.
Yep, I've got two cases right now.
Wow.
And that's what's holding up the policies that we're buying, is because they want to be sure the divorce is final, because the husband would try to take the policy also.
Wow, that's amazing.
I mean, that's how sorry these old boys are sometimes.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, I would never, in all my life, I've never heard anyone getting a divorce because of cancer. Usually they're close. And they're trying to help each other, and they're doing the best they can for that loved one. But not these short-term marriages. No, sirree. They're bailing.
Wow. It almost sounds like they're in it for whatever they can get, and when the going gets tough, they're out.
That's exactly what happened. And we've got two policies we're waiting on right now that, you know, the ladies have cancer, the men are divorcing them. And it's just an amazing deal. I would not have known it, but our provider told me, Faye, we've got a hold up on your policy that you're buying from us, and then he told me about it, and I'd never heard of it. I just didn't know. But again, these are short term. We always know everything about the people we're buying the policy from. You know, we know how soon the cancer started, what kind of treatments they've had, and this is really important, knowing all the facts where we can know if it's a good policy or a bad policy. If it's not a good policy, we're going to pass on it, even though we're looking for policies. And then the policies have to be changed over to our name for our customers. And it takes time, but it's always worth it in the end, because we always get the very best policies.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of investments we do is the best policies that's out there.
Yeah.
And lots of times we'll know one's really, really good, and we're bidding hard to get that policy.
And every policy that comes across your desk, you don't bid on all of them. There are plenty that you'll just bypass and throw in the trash.
We have to. We had one last week, 84 years old. The woman had cancer, and they said, oh, Faye, it's short. You know, it's about a 12-month policy. I said, no, it was me. It'd be our luck. We'd buy that dadgum thing, and she'd have a miraculous recovery. Oh, my gosh, these seniors are amazing. You know, I mean, you think they're sick, and they're not even sick. People used to lie to us, you know, and we'd buy those policies, and then they're still alive. So I feel sorry for people that buy senior policies.
Yeah, they're tough.
Because it's tough. It might be a long time before you get your money back. And we want to do something that is just regular people, you know, they're 37 to 74, no older than that. And we know that if it's stage four, it's end of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that they're going to make a recovery from. It might go over. They might have missed it. But look at all the ones this year that we've had that came in early. They came in 12 months early. We had two 30-month policies that came in 12. So sometimes the people are sicker, and we can't always tell. Because remember, we can't see inside them. You know, they can do CAT scans. They can do all this. But sometimes that thing is progressing a lot faster than we can determine.
Yeah.
And I was reading on one this week, and it was 149 pages.
Holy smokes.
Yes. And she actually has two kinds of cancer.
Really?
Uh-huh. And she had kidney cancer, and now she's got ovarian cancer.
Mm.
Well, you know it's caused by the kidney cancer. It's spread. And so now she's got two kinds of cancer, and so naturally her life expectancy is going to be shorter.
Yeah.
Because with two of them, it's hard. You're not going to make it through it, let's face it.
Yeah, it's hard enough with just one, but you have two, and that's pretty impossible.
That's right. And we've had several that have passed away that started out with stomach cancer, which is as bad as it gets. But then if they find another kind of cancer in there, you're doomed. You're not going to make it.
Yeah. We'll get into
and even stage three. I was reading this week about someone who had stage three, and I read the statistics on it, and they only have a 20% chance.
Really?
Even on stage three, it's only 20%.
Wow.
But it'd be our luck that stage three would be longer than what we are anticipating. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. You're going for the best odds for a payoff for the investor as possible. There's plenty of other people that'll buy stage one, two, and three policies, and that's great. They get the money. They have somebody there to buy it, and that's fantastic. But for your investors, you're doing something that's highly specified. You're doing a very unique niche type of investment, and we'll get into how the whole life settlement works here in just a minute. But for right now, this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what's our topic this morning?
It's about a man, a very famous man in Fort Worth, Texas. His name is Amon G. Carter. I mean, he was Mr. Fort Worth. I love the story of Amon Carter. He was just a little boy. He was born in Crafton, Texas. His mother died in 1892, so they moved to Bowie, Texas. He supported himself with a variety of odd jobs. At 11 years old, he had to drop out of school and go to work. And this is the cutest thing. Him and these other boys would sell sandwiches down at the railroad. And it was called Chicken and Bread Boys. And they sold these sandwiches, and they told them they were chicken sandwiches. So the passengers at the rail station during the Depression would buy the sandwiches. And the story goes they were really made up of rabbits that the boys had hunted.
Oh, man!
Oh, my gosh, it wasn't even chicken. But to this day, Bowie has an annual chicken and bread festival every October celebrating what these kids did in the 1890s. Can you believe that? Chicken and bread boys. Mm. And it wasn't chicken. It was made out of rabbit.
As long as it tastes like chicken, that's all that matters.
And back then, they didn't know the difference, you know. And so then in 1905, Carter accepted a job as an advertising salesman in Fort Worth. And he agreed to help finance and run the little newspaper. It was called the Fort Worth Star. It printed its first little newspaper in 1906. And he became advertising manager. Now, he's just a young guy. And it was losing money, about to go under. And he said, you know what we need to do? He said, there's another newspaper in town. We need to raise some money, and we'll buy it. And so he raised the money. He raised $100,000 in 1908. He combined the newspaper, and it was called the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. That's still there right now. So from 1923 until World War II, it had the largest circulation of any paper, and not just Fort Worth, but West Texas, New Mexico, and Western Oklahoma.
Wow.
Now, later, in 1922, he created WBAP, the oldest radio station in Fort Worth. He started WBAP in 1922. This is how smart he was. And then he followed it with Texas' first television station. In 1948, he started WBAP-TV. Now, early on, he started drilling oil wells also in New Mexico. That's where he made a really lot of money. He immediately set up the Amon G. Carter Foundation to do things for Fort Worth, Texas. And all of his life, he did such amazing things. His name is on everything in Fort Worth because of the money he gave and the things that he did. Personified the image of a Texas cowboy. He was a storyteller, a gambler, a drinking. He was generous with his money and quick to draw his six shooters. Do you believe that?
Oh, how cool. Ooh,
yeah. Now, Time Magazine, he was in Time Magazine. He was on the Saturday Evening Post. Will Rogers was a friend of his, and so was Walter Winchell.
Wow.
Now, he drummed up business for Fort Worth like nobody's ever heard of. He was the one responsible for Texas Tech University. He was the first chairman of the board of there. He persuaded Southern Air Transport, which is now American Airlines, to move its headquarters from Dallas to Fort Worth back then.
Really?
Yeah. There was a lot of oil companies. He got them to keep their headquarters in Fort Worth. He was influential in obtaining the construction of the Air Force plant, which is now Lockheed Martin over there.
Really?
And Bell Helicopter. All that was his. And the story goes that he disliked Dallas so much, and he was so much in favor of Fort Worth, that if he had to go to Dallas, he would have his chauffeur pack him sandwiches, he would eat them, and would never spend a dollar in Dallas, Texas.
Now, that's taking a stand right there.
He took a stand. Now, the other thing he did, on his newspaper, it said, Fort Worth, where the West begins. It still says that on the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
Does it really?
Where the West begins.
Wow.
And he always says everything about Fort Worth compared to the other. Texas Christian University, its football station, is named Amon G. Carter Stadium. The main entrance to Texas Tech is named Amon G. Carter Plaza. All these other things. And in Big Bend, which you know is one of my favorite places, the Amon Carter Peak is in Big Bend National Park.
Really?
And he gave so much to that park. A&M University School of Law is named after Amon Carter.
Wow.
It was given to the school. It was a gift from the Amon Carter Foundation. And Meacham Airport was dedicated to Amon Carter in 1933. Riverside High School was named Amon Carter Riverside High.
Wow.
And of course, the lake in Bowie, Texas, is the Amon G. Carter Lake. So there's so many things this did that he did for Fort Worth, Texas. I mean, like colleges, like oil companies, American Airlines, all these things he started. And he started out with nothing. And his museum, the Amon Carter Museum, he founded that. And in his will, it stated, when he died, he wanted that museum created for Fort Worth. He said he was a poor boy and never got to have things other kids had. It is a world-class museum.
Wow.
They have paintings from all over the world. Some of the most prized paintings there is. All kinds of exhibits. It's a rare opportunity to go see the Amon Carter Museum.
It sounds like Amon G. Carter is really Mr. Texas.
He is. He really is. And his Cadillac, one of his early Cadillacs, is at the Southwest Museum there in Fort Worth.
Man, I want to go. I want to go to that museum. I want to tour all of it.
You need to go and see all the things that he collected for that museum. And he said it was because he was a poor boy that he did it.
Wow.
He said, I didn't have things like other kids. Well, he was 11 years old and selling rabbit sandwiches.
Calling him chicken.
Calling him chicken. Oh, my gosh.
I don't blame him. It doesn't sound cool. Hey, come buy a rabbit sandwich.
That's right. He said, oh, we've got these nice chicken sandwiches. Those people during the Depression were buying them. And that's how he made a living. He had to. He didn't have a choice. And look what he did with his life. You know, a lot of people were just giving up because they were poor, didn't have anything. They were on the street working, but not him.
Yeah.
Look what he made of himself and started out with that crazy job at the newspaper.
Yeah.
At the Fort Worth Star.
Wow.
And then decided to raise the money to buy the Fort Worth Star Telegram. And I don't know what he was worth time he passed away, but it had to be an awful lot.
Yeah.
And then he created that foundation and did all these things for Fort Worth and brought all these companies to Fort Worth. And he was chairman of the board of a lot of them. And A&M, he gave all that money to A&M. He was a huge philanthropist. He made his money really work for Fort Worth.
Wow. I mean, he was into everything. Radio, TV, newspaper, oil, charity.
Yeah, you name it.
Wow.
The airlines. He brought the first airplane to Fort Worth, Texas.
Wow.
First airplane.
for the company that is now American Airlines.
That's right. And all these other companies. It looked like Bell Helicopter over there. All these others, Textron. He brought all that to Fort Worth, and he said, you know, we need industry. And three of the big buildings downtown is because of him. Those high-rise buildings built years ago was because of Amon Carter.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And then, of course, look, Will Rogers, Walter Winchell, had a lot of friends in high places.
I bet.
And, you know, he loved it. And he invited all these people out to his ranch, which was the edge of Fort Worth, and entertained people. And he touted Fort Worth every chance he got.
Wow.
So it's an amazing story how one man did that much for that city, and so many things are named after him.
Well, yeah, and it sounds like they're all so well-deserved. It almost sounds like with everything that it does have his name on it, it's almost not enough because he is Mr. Fort Worth.
He really is. I mean, him and his family did so much. And, you know, he had three children, and he was married three times. His first wife, they had one child. His second wife, they had two. And but he was married that third time. And it just, you know, it's an amazing story.
Wow. Amon G. Carter.
Amon G. Carter. You need to see the Amon G. Carter Museum. Take your time and go through it, and you'll love it. You will absolutely love everything about it.
Definitely on the list of things to do. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. Have we mentioned Ivy Cottage today?
Not at least a month or two, I don't think.
Oh, my gosh. There's no telling what all they have in there that we haven't seen.
Oh, I know it. I'm surprised you haven't bought the whole place out yet.
I know. I mean, I'm falling behind in my duties.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need. You'd have to get two or three trucks to get all that home.
You know, you would. I think it'd take three trucks. Oh my goodness.
So let's get into how the life settlement program works, because we've talked about how, you know, you buy these life insurance policies and then people can invest in them. We talked about how there's a number of people that will buy life insurance policies for a number of reasons. We see commercials on the all the time, you know, with, you know, these companies, and you see these elderly people, they're, you know, 80 years old and they're just smiling and the sun is shining and they're traveling because they sold their policy. Those are not the policies you're buying. You are only buying stage four cancer because we know the statistics. We know the numbers. We know how fatal stage four can be. And you know that they are going to mature faster than anything else, which is great for the investor. It's great for the policyholder because when somebody's diagnosed with stage four cancer, it's very expensive. The fastest way to get a lump sum of money is to go ahead and sell your life insurance policy. That's how the process starts, right?
That's exactly right. And when people sell us their policy, they get the cash right now to help them pay for all the cancer treatments because they're so expensive. You know, we used to think it was inexpensive, but it's $1 million. You're looking at $1 million minimum for your cancer treatment.
Wow.
And as I just said, that one pill for cancer is $22,000.
It's amazing.
And the insurance company does not appear to be paying for that, because I've got some clients that just told me that's what they paid for their cancer, these new pills for leukemia, was $22,000.
Wow.
So they sell us their policy where they can get treatment, where they can sometimes just to settle the estate. They're so far gone. They said, you know, all I want to do is get the estate set up and get that finished. Then sometimes it's we're doing everything we can to save this person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we would all do that for our family. We would try to save them. But when it's stage four, you know, they're doing radiation, they're doing chemo, and then we have the strange people that go to Mexico. And I'm telling you, folks, you need to try everything here first. I know chemo's terrible. It's the worst thing in the world. But lots of times they go to Mexico, then when they come back, it's too late for the other thing. They come back, and I read and read on their report, and it says they came back, it had grown this much, this many centimeters, and the doctor says, you know, I don't think we can do anything, but we'll try. I mean, and then we have the ones that the doctors say, you'll have to get a new doctor because you've been to Mexico, you've screwed this up so bad, we're not going to mess with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, when they show these people smiling and happy, that's not the way it is.
No, that's definitely
not. No, I mean, that's kind of misleading. It's not that way. They're in bad shape when they come to us. And, you know, I've seen a lot of them, and I know how it is. And I know how bad they shape they're in and how bad they need the help. Mm-hmm. And so then we help them. We buy the policy. Our clients, we send them out an email and say, do you want to put $100,000 this, $50,000? What are you comfortable with? Or I may say, this is how much I recommend today.
Mm-hmm.
And then they read all the information, they call us back, or they email and say, yes, I want to go in that policy.
And then at that point, people they invest, and then it literally is as simple as sitting back, waiting for the policy to mature. When the insurance company pays it out, they get their portion, it goes in the bank, and then most of the time, people reinvest that into another one. And that's how the whole process works over several years, and that's how people use this program to get ready for retirement. But like anything else, there are always risks involved, because we see how great the opportunity is to make money. We see, you know, how it's more conservative than many other options, but there are three major risks.
And we always tell people, when you get up in the morning, there is a risk involved.
Mm-hmm.
You may trip your foot and break a leg right there before you get out of the house. This is the same way. There's always risk in everything you do in life. And the risks are not great, but they're there, and we have to tell you about it. The first risk is it may go over. And so you may think it's 24 months. It could go a year. It could go 2 years over. We never know for sure. The doctors may make a mistake. Most of the time, it doesn't go over, but it could, so that's a risk. The second risk is it's not liquid during that time. When it's invested in a life insurance company, it is not liquid till it matures, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When it matures, it becomes liquid again. But people with IRAs, most of them always understand that because they don't want the cash because they're going to reinvest it anyway. But we have to tell you, you can't take the cash out midstream, okay?
All right.
Then the third one is if a life insurance company ever went under. If one ever went under, it would take you longer to get your money. But thank goodness there's never been a life insurance company go broke in Texas. And the other thing is, and we talk about this all the time, years ago the premium income wouldn't have been great like it is now, but it is tremendous on all these life insurance companies. You know, they loan out their money. They have so much. And they are a lot more than a bank. They are scrutinized so much more. They have two people that audit them every year.
Oh, wow.
It's not just like a life insurance company. And they have to have up reserves, a lot more reserves on the money than you do if you have a bank. Banks don't have to carry that many reserves, but a life insurance company is required to have all these reserves to cover these policies.
Hmm.
So their income, if anybody was about to go under, somebody would buy it, as I always say, as quickly as possible because of that life premium income.
Yeah, there's so much money involved, it'd be crazy.
Oh, my gosh, it's tremendous.
So
some of them have over $100 million just in premium income.
Wow. That's huge. So to be involved in the program, somebody does need to be accredited. And so what are the parameters for that?
Okay, you must be accredited. You either have to make $200,000 a year, or if it's a joint policy with your wife, you have to make $300,000 if it's a joint deal. If it's just you and your IRA, you've got to be making $200,000. Or if you don't go that route, you've got to be worth $1 million without your home. You can have a lake house, you can have rent houses, you can have a ranch, you can have cattle, you can have your 401k, an IRA, all this counts, just not your regular home.
Okay. All right, so we've seen the potential to make a ton of money. We've seen how this can get people ready for retirement. We've gone over the risks. So people they've got a pretty good idea, and then this is all kind of generalities. This is the basic overview. So people can come talk to you. They can come ask more questions. You can sit down and run over the program in more detail with them. Or if they think they're ready to go, maybe they've heard you for a long time and they're ready to get started. Either way, do you have a availability to talk to people this coming week?
Yes, we've already got several appointments, but I would say starting on Wednesday, probably by 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Yes, one on. and then Thursday and Friday morning. The rest is already taken. But it's just amazing. We've had 4 phone calls this week, people wanting to get their retirement solidified where they don't have that up and down and that huge risk.
Yeah.
They're wanting to make it a little bit safer.
It's got to be done. So one last time, Faye, what's your phone number over there at the office so people can call, maybe leave a message today? You'll call them back and set up an appointment for people to come see you.
Okay. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.